This is the Levels Podcast. I am Justin Hoddle, joined by the Triple OG, Woodaboo Mason.
What's happening?
OG, just the one episode now, moving forward for the next couple of weeks, breaking down the international games. Some really entertaining games on the weekend. Yeah. The scoreline, I don't think, fully reflected the effort that someone's put in. But we were talking about on the way in, we do think there's levels still in this international game, that the gap just needs to, it still needs a bit of work.
I think, you know, we spoke about it. Usually when, Samoa and New Zealand go really well, and Tonga, it's usually a World Cup campaign.
Yep.
It's a four nations. They need about four or five games. They need that continuity. They need those games to build some momentum. It's hard to go up against an Australian team in a one-off test. You know, like you're playing against the best, and Australia's used to coming into camp, New South Wales, Origin, they come in best of the best, and they just gel. That's what they're usually like. And you could see that probably on the weekend. They really blew Samoa off at the start, man. And they end up coming back a little bit, but their defense is too good. And it's hard to beat Australia in those sort of things. You know, it's Payne Haas and Tino and, you know, Liam Martin. Like, they had a great team. Everyone's trying to think they had a few injuries and everything like that.
Just
next man up mentality for that Australian jersey. And, credit to Samoa. They didn't give up. They didn't give up. They didn't give in. They fought hard. But it's just there's levels, man. You know, it was hard when you're playing against, like, you know, DC had a great game. You know, they didn't even have a Cleary, had Munster, Katoni Staggs, all these young bucks who have never played for Australia. Hamaso, played outstanding. You know, when you play you get that first rep jersey, that first Australian jersey. You know, you go all out, and Samoa, they put up a valiant fight, but it was just they needed to start off well.
It's a really interesting point that you brought up, and I didn't think about it until you brought it up. When I was watching the game, I was like, there's still levels to this, and I know Samoa went really good in the World Cup last year, but you're right, they need runs on the board, because it's such an advantage for the Australian team, majority of them, of the Australian team that play Origin together, that go through a campaign, that know how to build into a series, but also
how many players play in the grand final in the prelims. You know, look at the Samoan team, you know, like most of them were out in the eight.
Yeah.
Didn't even make the eight, so that's about 6 weeks. You know, that's match fitness. You know, they got blown off the park in the middle. You know, Junior Paulo didn't make the eight. Palacio was in the Brisbane team, but he didn't play that many minutes, but he was still in there. The hooker hasn't played that much Gordon, NRL.
About three games NRL.
You know, the other props, Lemuelu, Luciano, they didn't play any finals, man. Finals. Yep. So that's a big deal. Like, 6 weeks of not playing. You know, these other guys, like, you go from Cobo grand final, Katoni Staggs were in grand final. Like, Liam Martin, Isaiah Yeo, Cameron Murray doesn't matter.
You got Cameron Murray. Finals.
Tino didn't make, Payne Haas did it, Ben Hunt didn't. But, like, they're all vets.
Yeah.
They're vets. They've been training so hard, they stay fit, they stay ready, and then they just come on and just, like, they don't miss a beat. You know, you got guys like DCE, and you got like Cam Munster and, you know, Benny Hunt, and then you got the quality of Teddy, and they just showed quality, man.
I think your first point's super valid, and they need time to build into a campaign. Remember, Samoa got blown out by England.
Yes,
first,
and everyone's thinking
first game of the World Cup. But what they did, they got better every single game. They eventually beat England 4 to 5 weeks later, and then were valiant against.
It'll be interesting. So, how many games are they going to play?
Three games. So
three games. Is that including the final?
New Zealand this week.
Yeah.
And then New Zealand play Australia, and whoever has the top two records go on to play in the final.
Okay. So it's going to be hard.
It will be hard.
I think New Zealand should be in there.
I think moving forward for sure, I know Benny Gardner is only new in his role, and Christian Wolf has been the Tongan coach for a while. For sure they have to have, you know, there's, for instance, with Origin, there's camps.
Yeah.
Maybe at the start of the year where they get together with their emerging squads and have a weekend away together.
Gone are the days where it's just like you just put a Tongan team and Samoan team and just think, you know, you're just going to get together. Yeah. It's serious now.
The expectation is there.
You know, they come second in the World Cup. You know, Tonga's always been they're a top four nation. So they've got to start building like Origin, like the Australian teams do. Australian teams don't really do that, but, you know, coming in for a camp.
Because playing, they've got Origin, they don't have
you
to.
Know, playing, you know, like, I think they need to really start playing a one-off test around Origin. Start making that sort of a rep round. I think just to really grow the international game a little bit more. You know, like, even if you put Luai, who they missed? They just Luai?
Yeah, so look, Jerome was a big omission. He was probably the biggest. Who else is missing?
Not many that would really make that much of a difference. I think Luai was the king there.
Swali,
yeah.
Who else? I'm trying to think of the. I think a real important player to emerge and find some consistency for him, who would be if they could match Jerome Luai and Schuster develops into the player that a lot of people
think he is.
If he was a ready-made six at club level and playing consistently with
or lock
the potential that we've already seen.
I'd love to see him play lock.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And then you have Luai on that edge. He can play left edge, and then you got Crichton on that wherever. I think Crichton can play fullback. He can play wherever he wants to.
Yep.
Then you're talking, because you've got Junior Paulo, you've got all these other big boys that can play some really big minutes. So who would you put in the Australian side? Who do you think would make the Australian side from that Samoan team?
To'o and Crichton. And
I think Junior Paulo would find his way on the bench as well.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yep. Junior would have. Maybe 2 years ago. I think now that he's transitioned now for a couple of years – I think that's ship sailed.
He's playing Origin, but
yeah, for sure. But I'm just saying,
the Australian jersey sailed.
He declared a couple of years ago now, and then during that period, you've had Tino and Payne emerge as probably.
Can you imagine Tino Payne play for Samoa?
That would be the. I'd love to see that.
That's a big difference, mate. Because those two guys were absolute animals. And even saying, you know, like we'll get there, our dogs of the week,
and Hamaso
as well. He played, but like just. I know what it's like. You know, you got the Samoan heritage in there. You're playing against Samoa. They went after those two as well, and they just fuck it.
So
they went hard, man.
How big a difference do you think it would make if you had Jerome fit, Hamaso playing in the back line somewhere for Samoa, and then you got Tino and Payne in the front row?
Mate, it's even. Yeah. It's pretty much even.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be. You're not going to get blown out by, like, you know, it's not going to be 42-10.
He's injured at the moment, but another guy we're forgetting about is Jeremiah Nanai.
100%.
But he's declared Australia. I wouldn't know if he would.
I know. We're just trying to say, like, just see your allegiance. Just say if they went. So next World Cup, they might be going, okay, well, let's play for.
Well, there is ready chat of that, right? I think there's been.
Tino might go. Okay. Well, I think Tino's played for Samoa, so he's already ticked that box.
No, he hasn't.
He hasn't?
No, he hasn't. So there's chat around that Tino. Is the player contemplating? And I know.
I understand. Why wouldn't you? He just won a World Cup. He's already played. He's played Origin. He's going to be one of the first pick for Origin for years. He's played the World Cup for Tonga. He's won the World Cup.
Yep.
You know, like it's, he's won a grand final. You know how important it is for your family. Represent your family. Represent your people. Fasu Malawi. You know that whole tribe back in Samoa. They'll be looking at that, going, hey, maybe the next World Cup we can see you playing for Samoa. You know, and that's going to be huge. Imagine if Payne Haas does that as well. Bro, then you're talking. Then the back row is going to be stacked. Maybe Nanai does it as well.
Yeah.
Because the World Cup's different.
Yeah.
It's different. The Pacific Cup, you're sort of just going, yeah, I'll play for Australia, sort of want to win. And it's like, you know, I don't know. It's just going to be – it's a bit different for the World Cups.
Yeah. All right, mates, before we get into the YouTube questions, we want to thank our partners, both Body Science and the Tab. But let's get into our Body Science Dog of the Week. And you've got a couple of dogs.
Yeah, man. It's hard. It was hard this week. I love the young kid Farlongo. I just thought he was outstanding, right? But I just looked at the game and I looked at Tino and I looked at Payne Haas, both Samoan heritage. They would have been head on a plate for Samoa, right?
Yeah.
The start that Tino and Payne Haas got off to was ridiculous. Tino hasn't played. I think he played in that PNG game. I think, you know, maybe 3 weeks ago. Hadn't played since round 27. Ripped out 45 minutes of the best. I think it was something like 17 hit-ups, 135 metres. Got a try, set up everything.
Both of them scored.
Payne Haas got his first try. But my Body Science Dog of the Week goes to Tino. Simply because he was just an absolute beast. And I know that they were going after him. And the way that he was running, man, this is glimpses of what he's going to do next year. I think him and Payne Haas are the best props in the game at the moment. And I'm tipping Tino. He's got that skill level. He's got that tip. He's got that beautiful pass. He runs good lines. He's quick, fast, mobile. Hits like a truck.
You like the you think he's a more complete front row.
He's a complete front row. Once Payne Haas develops a pass, I think he'll be level. But like and his defense, I think Tino hits a lot harder. But Payne Haas just doesn't stop, mate. He's destructive as hell. But I'm talking – this is the bee's dick in it. But, Tino, Body Science Dog of the Week, man. Absolute animal.
All right, my Body Science Dog of the Week, Mace, you mentioned him. Tua Faalanga, 18 runs for 176 metres.
Damn.
75 post-contact metres, 11 tackle breaks, and he forced every single one of them. One line break assist, and one of the best no tries of all time.
Got to award that, wouldn't you? Just award it, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I think if I was a ref, I know Samoa wasn't going to win. Just give it to the kid.
You know what? We were, you know, to work for the tab as well. There's punters at home
that
were betting on the line. All right, mate. Also, want to give a shout out to all of the representative players, past mainly, that have represented their countries and origin and represented the weekend for the Carl Webb.
Yes.
Old boys match up there. I seen it's actually available on YouTube. You can watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, good.
Go on Google. I was watching a little bit of it the other day. Seen a couple of ex-teammates and Greg Bird and Toddy Carney running around on the left edge.
Birdie.
It's a funny game. It starts off like pretty.
No. It starts off, gentlemen's agreement.
Yeah.
And then people someone does start getting stupid. Pop.
Yeah.
I remember playing a game. I think it was I played a game for the Tongan team and against the All-Stars. I think it was for raising money for the floods, I think, in Tonga.
Yep.
And who's the young kid? He played off the bench for Parramatta. He just goes
Penny Terapo.
Penny Terapo, right? So I'm playing against Birdie. Birdie and I just sort of just muck it around and all that kind of stuff, just having a good time. And I'm trying to not go on the ground or anything like that.
Yeah.
Penny Terapo off the back fence, 100 mile an hour. And I even looked at Birdie. I'm like, you going to level this kid or what? And it was one of the biggest hits I've ever seen. Birdie hit him. And so Birdie hit him. He just hit him right on the ball, popped the ball, hit him like it was one of those ones right on the chest, sort of rocked him back.
Yeah.
And just like lost the ball, legged him and everything. I was just like, I started laughing. I was like, because I'm like, it's a charity game, man. I said, because I told him, I said, mate, bro, because he goes, mate, Mace, I'm going to fucking smash him. I said, do it.
Yeah, I love Penny.
Green light.
He
just don't know any other way.
Penny lived with my parents growing up. He legit has no life.
Bro, he doesn't understand.
Doesn't understand training. He doesn't understand like gentleman's agreement.
No.
He won't put up like that.
Nothing.
His mentality is 100 and I love that shit.
I love it.
Not involved in it.
Because no one else was going to hit it. He was running to like Kevin Campion.
Yeah.
All these older blokes. Yeah. Kevin Campion's like, fucking what's going on here? Fucking making line breaks and line break assists. He's offloading. He's running over fullbacks. So I was just like, someone's got to fix him up. Yeah. Birdie popped him.
Yeah.
And didn't stop him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't stop him.
No,
straight off the back. He just didn't know.
He
just doesn't know.
He would have got up, played the ball.
To even like go at 50 or 60%, just played the ball.
Yeah.
Didn't care, Birdie. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, give it a penny. And then, so Birdie, he's still pretty fit. Toddy Carney still goes hard.
Yeah,
but it's like, it was a representative of some great players, you know.
Some gun players.
But that's just a testament. It's a testament. So what a great person Carl Webb is.
Well, here's another testament, mate. So we got this message from IKNS Australia. Never met Carl Webb, but my best mate that lives in Queensland, his daughter has been coached by Webby for a few years and could not have had better raps on how good of a bloke he was. Great with the kids and a genuine fella from all reports. So super tough seeing him. Such a warrior what he's going through. Hope the NRL community continues to get behind him and support him with this battle. Well said, brother. And it was congratulations to all the boys.
I'll give you a little Webby story.
Yeah.
Right? Super League, 97. I'm playing for the Hunter Mariners. He was like the kid, right? And I was the dude up in Newcastle. He was a year younger. And everyone's like, who's this fucking Carl Webb kid? You know, he made all the representative sides, a year younger, Australian schoolboys, all that sort of shit. And I was in the same sort of same sort of school.
Yep.
And then so we're like, fuck, who is he? Which one is it? Oh, it's that little fucking nugget. And he still owns the records in Brisbane for the most squats and bench.
Okay.
It's like 190,
I've
190,
seen
200.
Talk about it. They've got
it's a fucking, it's a thing. No one can tell. I think it's 280 for squats.
Yeah.
Like deadlifts. It's ridiculous. Anyway, so they kick off, right? And our front rower runs the ball. He just goes fucking bang, hits him that hard. The front row drops the ball, picks the ball up and scores. First hitter, first play of the game. I said, oh, that's Carl Webb. Fuck him. You know what I mean? It's just, yeah. I was like, holy shit. And then we ended up playing Super League 17s together, and then we ended up coming through the same system and playing against each other in Origin. And the last time we played with each other was that Anzac test.
Yep.
Right? And we were both roomies.
Oh, fuck. Yeah,
and I played North Queensland with him in 2010, so we've got a really good relationship, mate. I love Big Charlie, mate. And it's just, it is devastating to see what's happening to him.
Yep.
And it just, it, you know, it reverberates through the whole of the NRL, mate. Everyone's just so shattered because, you know, there's no cure for that disease. He's got young kids. He's got a young family, you know, and it's just, it's great that everybody's, you know, just trying to help, you know. Yeah. And the thing is, you know, when you know, things go really pear-shaped, you know, as long as his family and everyone's looked after. And that's the beauty of rugby league.
Yep, well said, mate. Congrats to everyone who got behind it. All the best with Webby and people supporting him. And, you know, hopefully one day down the road we can, you know, find a cure for this thing because I've had family.
Rob Burrow's got that as well.
Rob Burrow's obviously going through it.
And it's a devastating, devastating disease.
Yep. We also want to let everyone know that Mace is rocking the hoodie. I am rocking the hat. Yeah. Go on to levelsnetwork.com.au to rock our collection. Shout out to the Hello Sports Boys rocking it on the latest episode. The boys getting behind us. We love those boys. And we love all you fans, subscribers. Mace.
Where are we going?
He said someone had.
Mate, I got pulled up. Pulled up. I think we went after we got it on, I think Saturday morning. After the run club. So I'm just pulled up. And then some bloke sort of recognised me and he's wound his window down. I'm like, oh, fuck, you know. He goes, Mace, Woodaboo, OG. And I'm like, yeah, man. He goes, fucking love the potty. I'm a subscriber. I'm like, oh, cool, man. You know, I respect that. At the races, we went to the Everest. There's a lot of love for the levels, man. It's really good. I think they enjoy our content, enjoy what we're talking about. And they support us. It's great.
How was the Everest too? Do you win any cash or what?
I did. I gambled responsibly.
Of course.
But I end up. What was it? The last
fangirl.
Thing. So I was having a punt with Braith.
Yep.
And I put a little bit of a kitty in there.
So Braith's got the mail.
So Braith had the mail.
Because
right?
I know you're not a punter. So
I rang up.
We're
I rang a few thing up. I rang a few, and they had some. They had some good ones. Yep. And we just had one last bet. We had a fair bit. And I'm like,
so you had you got to like, think about it
I'm
as well
like,
too, right?
Load up on it.
Yeah.
And then, we end up coming good.
So you got Think About It into Fangirl the last couple of races.
Yeah.
Lukey got us. We had a little kitty going at Clef Valley Hotel. Good. Lukey got us Think About It as well.
But what a great vibe.
It was your tip, Lukey, for Think About It, right? Yep. Thumbs up.
IPE with Matty Hill does a good job. We just sat there and, you know, just talked to punters.
Any of the other boys there, you and Braith or outside of you and Braith?
A few union players.
Yep.
That was about it, mate. We just sat there. It was good. Like it was a private suite.
Yeah,
and you've been there before.
Well,
they do it really well.
Yeah,
and some really good people there. A few drinks, had a few beverages, and got out of there. I was home by like 7:30, so it was good.
Yeah, nice. And like you mentioned before, so shout out to the subscriber. He's one of 19,400.
Sure.
So we're close to 20K. And he's hopefully he's one of the 643 members in our run club. So
how good was that turnout?
Best. Right. Week three.
It's week
22.
Yeah.
We had. So and first week good. Was seven.
It's just good that they're coming from like Monavale, Penrith, like
Windsor.
Campbelltown. Yeah, Windsor. Wollongong.
Windsor's far, man.
And I'm just like.
Yeah.
You know, and some of the, as I said, like some of the lads, you know, you can go hard with Mags or you can go on the, you know, with you yourself and, you know, or you can just walk with me.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, it's not a sprint because we're going at it. You boys go at it. Like I'll run the first kilometres and if people fall off, I'll come back and just walk with those guys. The big also, I think his name was Big Andrew, Big Kiwi Boy.
Yep.
He was, he's about 55, 60, still going after it.
Yeah, I love to see that, eh?
Yeah,
I thought
good.
He was just come down and drop
he's
off
from Guildford.
His kids and that.
Yeah, he's from Guildford, yeah. So he went come after down. It. Well, then we just talk about footy the whole time. Like, so, you know, it's hard to talk and run, you know what I mean? So if you want to back off in the car, get some gold from the Mace, just drop back a bit, back a couple gears, you know, and then we have a coffee and have a good chat. Mate, it's great. It's a great vibe.
We're on this week again, 6:30 at Centennial Park. We meet at Homestead Cafe near the stairs. Also, I reached out to the Alfreds boys because I know we have followers in Queensland, Gold Coast. Would love to set up a run club in New Zealand with someone that runs. But
Willie Tonga might be able to do that.
Ooh, yeah, in Brizzy.
Yeah,
does he get
loves,
after it and
he
run?
Loves him. I mean, he walks a lot. So I mean, like you know, he gets in different blokes up there who can go after it and run. You can walk. You can do whatever you want. Just find a little track there.
Well, the boys for Alfreds, they run. They're pretty decent runners. So I'll give you a little pre-warning. Yeah, if you go and have a trot with the boys. The boys in Alfreds are doing 10K, I believe. Just go follow them on social media. It's open to anyone. But I think you've got to have a pretty good base to be running with those guys as well. So go follow the Alfreds boys. And if you're in Gold Coast and you want to go for a trot and you've got 10K in you think you can run 10K, go and hit the boys up. Follow them on Instagram and then they'll give you – they update on their socials when they're running and where they meet. So there's a little group for some of those people up in Queensland and Brizzy and Gold Coast that can't come to our run club.
We'll try and get up there but during the year, won't we?
For sure. I'd love to do something with them. Yeah, maybe the Gold Coast Marathon that we'll get to. What were you going to say, Lukey?
Melbourne
next week. Oh, yeah, we'll be in Melbourne next week. Right, yeah.
Might get up there on Friday arvo or something.
We're going down for the Friday arvo. No, let's do – because we get Friday arvo. Let's do Saturday morning. Again, before the race.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sweet. We'll go around that beautiful little lake or whatever they got there.
Well, if you're a follower from down in Melbourne, let us know the best 5K.
I know where it is. I'll speak to Pico.
All right, done. We also got this one from Boog. First of all, guys, congrats on your massive year. My question for the next party. In the NFL during the offseason, the players would have like mini camp type summits where all the best get together to teach each other how to be the best tight end, for example. Mm. There's tight end university in the game, for example. Do NRL players do that, similar, or would it even be allowed to happen?
Yeah.
We've talked about it.
I love the idea, and I think there is a space there for it. Because honestly, like, you know, being in the coaching world now, there's a lot of information that these kids get, right? But sometimes I just don't think it's enough, especially if you're a young 18, 19-year-old. As I said, like what you get taught in the NRL is the basic curriculum, just like you're in school.
Yeah.
It's the same sort of thing, right? If you want to get better, you want to get smarter and you're in school, what do? You study, you do extras, you do all this sort of stuff. So don't think it's not enough information and work that you get done, even if you're part-time or even if you're full-time. So there's something like that should be, I think, I'm thinking about doing stuff like that.
Yep.
Just to get the front rolls. Just younger kids. If first graders want to do it, they can do it, right?
Ideally, you've always got to have some representation.
Yes,
of a first grader.
Yeah, of course, it'd be great because, like, you know, a lot of these, a lot of the NRL players that they do just the basic stuff.
Yeah.
Right, and then they're done. You know, like I barely see kids doing like proper extras, working on like, you know, like their game, their proper game, like where, you know, in different situations on the field, like they do extras and they just sit there and pass the ball. That's not extras.
It's very hard for rugby league players to do extras without having someone else come down too.
Yeah, you've got to do it. Yeah. You've got to do it after training because you're on the clock with the trainers.
If you're a basketball player, you can go get shots up by yourself and work on your game. But rugby league, we probably need
interaction.
And
it's aggressive. You know what I mean? Like you've got to train and you've got to do the drills at, you know, flat out. You know, like you got to have about six or seven blokes and just say, especially for the middles, right? There's a lot of moves that you can do within the game that you should be practicing all the time. But because obviously they have long days sometimes and everything like that and they just want to get off the field. And when I see them do extras, it ain't the extras that's going to help you be a better player.
Yep.
They're just doing like catching it from the nine and all that kind of stuff. It's very basic.
Doing it for the sake.
So I'm just thinking like, you know, like just say even if you had like all the front rollers and just, you know, like isolating B and C and like what plays you can put on, you know, like running block plays, the exact line, because you don't really get to break it down like that at training. Like walkthroughs, you know, like understanding, like starting to B, getting over to C, lead guy starts outside C, going back in, quickly, person out the back.
This is perfect, Mace. This is a message. This is one of the questions from Monkey Magic. Hey, man, love Mason and Justin Horro. Your opinions and your takes on the game are great to listen to. Really like the way you represent yourself. Good bloke. Man crush on Willie. What's the ABC when you talk footy, attack and defence?
Mm.
Love the potty and watch it every episode. Like religion. Tuesdays and Thursdays locked in and we'll come for a run. Half run. Perfect. Right. With Mace when life's not so hectic. Keep up the good work. So Mace, ABCs.
All right. So you just got, just say you're in the middle of the field, right? Yep. Play the ball there, A and B.
Let's use these. So let's just say this is a play the ball. Oh, can you see that?
Doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. No. Just say you got in the middle of the field, 5-5 split.
Yep.
Two markers. The guy who's the tightest is the A, and then the B, and then the C, and then the other side A, B, and C. And you can manipulate those guys so good with how wide you want the ball.
Yep.
Because a lot of the time, they all jam in together. So if you're a guy like Tino, right, or a Payne Haas, Fanua Blake, you know what I mean? They catch the ball at B and they skip it over to C straight away. So guess who's outside C? A back rower.
Yeah.
So that's where most of the stuff, that's where most of the plays are. So if you're a back rower, you're starting on the outside of the of four, would you call it four man, right? Yep. Your A, B, C, and then four man, right? Yep. So you want to catch it like B, get to C, and try and get the four man to turn in, and then you go out the back. If the four man turns out, then you hit the front guy.
Quick play
but
the ball.
But yeah, so A, B, C, very like, and it's and defensively, they need to be on point.
Yep.
You can't be in each other's pockets. You got to always look up where the hell is the ball runner because he might not have inside support, right? Yep. So if he's by himself, you can just rush him and get two, like A needs to get him, B needs to get him, and it's just like you can just bash the dude. But if he has inside support, like Teddy, A needs to check Teddy, and so does the marker. So usually you probably just show in, like Isaiah Yeo gets it all the time.
Yep.
He always gets a little show on the inside to hold the markers up, then he'll skip to C. And then the foreman doesn't usually want to get involved in that because he's got to look after all those other guys out the back. Because yep. if he gets to a foreman, the lead runner, which is usually another prop, right?
Yep.
And then someone out the back, like a Cleary, and then another back rower, and then a fullback out the back.
Yeah.
So they're the little shapes, yeah. So the ABC.
If you can identify
that stuff isolate, and manipulate the ruck, you can make a lot of joy. And Penrith do it the best.
Yep.
Because, and just say if you're a Leota, he's looking at A and B just to jam in between it.
Yep.
Spaces, not faces.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't want to run it. You don't, as a ball runner, you don't want to get caught by markers.
Yeah.
So you want to start near the markers and then just go out and you're trying to get in between B and C because then you've got those runners coming on the outside. So
to summarise just quickly, A, B, so just say if this is the play of the ball, if you're on the right, you're the right A, which is the first defender closest to the markers. And then if you're on the left, you'll be A left. So A, B, C as you go out.
And then you get the four man, the centre, halfback, winger. And that's how it works.
All right, this one's from Darcy Wellborn. Question for Big Willie. 2004, the Australian test against the Tomahawks. Mm. Not a knock on the US performance as they were up 18-0 in the first 35.
Oh, fuck, I remember that game.
But how hungover were you blokes?
We're singing the national anthem for the fucking Yanks. That's how hungover we were.
Any funny stories from that game if Philly liked the
mate.
Content?
Not funny for me because I did a Liz Frank and I was out for 10 months, which was fucked. But we
was that to do with the pitches over there?
Yeah,
yeah.
They didn't tell us to wear like pretty much joggers. We had studs on, so my foot got caught and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, it was a great concept. We didn't really have to play the game. So Bobcat got injured. He was out for 3 months. Ogre was injured 3 months. I was out for 10 months. So I fucked our 2005 campaign right up for that one exhibition game. You're never going to crack rugby league. In fucking America anyway. So we just won the Four Nations.
Yep.
Like we went on a like 2 day bender. Next minute we're on a flight all the way to New York. We have fuck all sleep. Then we're playing the next day.
Did you play in New York, was it?
Played in Philly. So we stayed in New York. Yeah, it was amazing. so we're getting pumped, right?
We're still half pissed.
We're still half pissed playing the game. Clint Newton's playing. They had this fucking linebacker.
Clint Newton was playing for Tomahawks. Yeah. Matty Peterson.
Matty Peterson, the young kid played for Parramatta. Who's the kid? Young Polynesian brother.
Joseph Paulo
played, I think. So I think some of those guys.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're just sitting out there just trying to – because they told us before, like, don't fucking wipe the floor with them, right? Yeah. So we're like, okay, sweet. Just go out there and they end up getting a bit of a start. We're like, yeah, whatever, who cares? Fucking half time, Wayne's like, Willie, fucking ripped into me.
Yeah.
You fucking got to do this and that. What are you doing? Kevin Walters was losing his shit.
Yeah.
You're getting done by these blokes. We'll start leading the fucking way, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, oh, okay, I'll just turn it on. Fucking bang. Line breaks, fucking offloads, this and that. Like just setting tries up, blah, blah, blah. And then we end up coming back and winning.
Yeah.
So there was one guy, he was a linebacker, right? Could hit like a truck.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not running into this bloke. I don't give a shit. He was hunting for me, you know?
He was some NFL like convert.
College fucking player.
Yeah.
And then who's my brick wall? Fucking Ogre.
Yeah.
I said, run at that. I said to Ogre, don't run at him.
Yeah.
He can fucking hit. I can see because in the first half he was popping blokes. Petro was playing. I'm like, said he can hit Ogre.
Fuck, your team was still stacked.
Yeah.
Hey?
Fucking stacked there. Yeah. Ogre don't give a fuck, guess. Watch this. And when he ran, Ogre, he popped Ogre, boom, like that. And I said, I fucking told you, don't run near him. Footwork.
Fuck, you got Ogre.
He got, but didn't put him on his back, but just enough. He got him.
Yeah.
Oh, he's like, fucking pussy. You know what he's like? Fuck him. Yeah. Kept going at him. I was like, yeah, okay, sweet. So anyway, this is how I did my foot, right? So I'm at, I'll get it from lock.
Yep.
All right, break from lock. Guess who's chasing me? Linebacker. Fuck. Come, so I went boom, boom. Anyway, bang, palmed him off. And then just, I did, because it was AstroTurf,
yeah.
You just fucking burnt skin coming awful. Off here. All I wanted to just put it down one hand, not dive.
Yeah.
It was my fault.
Yeah.
And then I end up getting caught up and bang, someone got landed on my ankle, scored the try, the winning try. And then we ended up, and then I was like, my ankle's fucking, you know, whatever. Yeah. Kept playing a little bit. I said, come off. And then like Tony Aube, he's testing it out and everything like that. He goes, fuck, I hope it's not that. This is one of the worst foot injuries you can have.
Yeah.
And it was Liz Frank.
Liz Frank.
Yeah. End up going, end up getting a boot, all this sort of shit in 2004. So we had like 4 days in New York.
Yep.
Still in the boot.
Yeah.
4 days in Vegas. Still in the boot.
So that would have helped with the recovery was
like
too.
Because I knew I was going back and I was going to get an op.
Yep.
It was ruptured and I was just like, so, mate, Vegas was off its head. I think I remember one time we come home and like Marco Mealy's getting fucking, he's in fights nearly with these Cherokee Indians. Fucking proper Cherokee Indians in the MGM Granville staying.
Fucking
and up. These blokes were going to kill him. So Wayne's sending blokes to bed.
Yeah.
Get out of here, big fella. Go on to sleep and I've come back down. Me, Minnie and I, we went to some joint and fucking, it was like, it was this was the hangover before the hangover.
Yeah.
Right? We went out on the, I think, the Sunday and we come home Tuesday and we didn't know what the fuck happened. And then you see these blokes, they're from Sydney.
Yeah.
And we sort of snapped out of it and they're like, you guys good? Well, who the fuck are you blokes? Yeah. You know what I mean?
We've been hanging with you for
24 hours. For 2 days. We've been to Dre's. We've been here. We've been this. I'm like, we don't remember shit. Minnie's fucking waking up next to me. And I'm just like, we're in a nightclub.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, holy shit. Anyway, the blokes, I ran into the blokes at Ravisi's. They go, do you remember me? I'm like, no. He goes, we're in Vegas with you. I'm like.
When did you run into them?
Ravisi's about 2006.
Yeah.
He goes, this is when Ravisi's going off. He goes, do you remember? And I said, no. He goes, we was in Vegas with you. I'm like, shut the fuck up. I said, you leave that shit, whatever. Yeah, Vegas, stay in Vegas. Yeah, he goes, I haven't mentioned anything. I said, it was a fucking good time. But yeah, that was a great trip. It was a great trip. Only it just sucked because I got injured.
Yeah, for sure. Sounds like a good one. This one's from Paul Barnes. Hey, boys, have you ever been in a form slump and how did you get out of it? Love the work.
Nothing crazy, but I think Folksy was, I think 2003, right?
Yep.
Still playing for Australia, still playing Origin. But I was like, he sensed something. He's like, he's just not doing all the little things. He's massive on defence, right? Massively on defence. And I was missing a couple of assignments and just sort of, you know, like, and he goes, he just fucking showed me video, this and that. He goes, you got to go back, because he's big into psychology, he goes, you got to go back to how you feel before your best game. Your mindset. How do you feel before your best game? Go back to your best game. And I saw
what's that? Sports is that psychology. Just trying to
I don't
kill,
know. Yeah,
trying just, to fucking destroy people.
Yeah, he goes, go back to that. He goes, because I was a couple of games where I was just dropping some balls, loose carry. You know what I mean? I was like, that's just fucking concentrate, Willie. You know, especially like, you know, it would be a good run, and then just fucking like that test you see the other day, like in 2003, it was.
Yeah.
Remember, I got through a line, bang, like
just
loose carry. So I'm like, okay, that's just the little 1% is where you just need
attention to detail.
Attention to detail, right? Just fucking loose carry and all that kind of stuff, just running free. Ball out here, people just hitting it. I'm like, fuck, you know, like you guys concentrate, you know, just go back to the basics. He was really good, you know, showed me some video. Runs and everything really well, really good. Defense was good. He goes, but just fucking making mistakes. He goes, you don't usually make that many mistakes.
Mm.
Go back to your best game, go back to what your mindset's like and then go from there.
Yep.
And then just like, just really peeled it back like that and then just fucking went from there to there.
Yeah.
You know, it was just really basic. It was really basic. Just taking your mind back to your best game and then just like trying to replicate that into your preparation, because it's all about preparation, folks. Your prep, what your prep's like, what your food's like, what your sleep's like, what the week's like, this, this, this. Then just put that in in order for the, you know, 2 or 3 weeks and just got back into form.
Yeah.
And when I say form slump, it wasn't a form slump. It was just really shit fucking attention to detail things.
I feel like this is probably a better question for me because I was dropped in and out of teams. So I sort of put this, I was still interested to see if you ever had moments like whether it was like international or whatever that you had. But I got dropped a number of times. And I guess the biggest thing for me was playing. I always felt like whenever I got dropped or at the time, and now in reflection, whenever I had form slumps or I dropped off is when I thought I was going better than what I was.
Okay.
So it was always like a battle for me to stay in. When I had the mentality like I needed to work to – I was an underdog to get in the team. Whenever I got comfortable and thought, all right, I'm traveling now, I always had a form dip. So now when I look back on it, I guess the biggest thing for me is I always just needed little reminders just because I wasn't super talented enough to always maintain my position. And whenever I went back, I always just try to be super positive. So I played a lot of reserve grade. I started off obviously a late bloomer, but I went back and got dropped at Parramatta and Manly during my career. And I was always like, whenever I went back there, because I remember when I was playing reserve grade coming through, you'd get a mixed bag of players that would come back. Some would be filthy
different
that they're playing there, and the other guys would always be like,
got some hungry really guys, you got some blokes hungry. Pissed off.
Yeah, and that, so I always try to make sure. I always resonated with those guys for sure. They come back and were like, had a real positive attitude, wanted to rip in. So that was the biggest thing. Whenever I was in a form slump, I'd go back. Shit, I've got to check myself here. Yeah. I'm not as good as I thought I was. I need to keep doing the one percenters and then simplify my game.
See, with Folksy, he wouldn't say anything.
Yeah.
Right? So if he's not saying anything to you, you're going good.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
So just say before games, like just say with the amount of information I got later in my career from coaches, I was like, I sort of would have rather Folksy. No, because like he'd say, just say if I'm getting a massage or something like that, he wouldn't even say it to my face. He'd be like, lead the line speed, aggression, fucking destroy everyone.
Before games, where you get a message. Before games,
yeah. Wouldn't even be like, that's all it was. About 3 or 4 key messages, line speed, lead hit everyone, fucking kill everyone.
Yep.
Done.
Yep.
It was just like, we're just a bunch of fucking soldiers.
Yeah.
And then that was it. Yep. But like, just say, if you slipping out of form or something like that, he'd check you straight away. Mm-hmm. Just say if I played one bad game.
Yep.
Not, in my eyes, I don't think I played a fucking awful game.
To your standard.
To my standard. And he goes, then he'd go, what's happening?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I mean? Like, get shit back together, go back to...
But if you're killing it, doesn't say a word.
Yeah, when you're killing it, you just fucking... He don't care.
Yeah.
He goes, because, you know, he knew what sort of player I was.
Didn't need to pump you up?
No. Nah.
Yeah.
He'd be fucking first one if... Because he always kept me accountable, right?
Yeah.
I probably played my best football underneath him because he just like, I knew if I did fucking slip up, he'd be straight on.
Yeah.
And he was just like, he was that sort of figure where it's just like, you don't want to piss folks you off. Like Wayne Bennett. Yeah, you know, like Craig Bellamy. Mm. It's like, you know, it's like disappointing your dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's just like you don't really want that. And I just come off, play the best game, he still wouldn't say well done.
Yeah.
He wouldn't care. He wouldn't do that.
You don't want it as well.
I don't want it. Yeah, I don't give a shit. Yeah. I know I play good.
Yeah. There's enough people that you hang around like away from footy that you go down to the cafe, they're like, fuck, make sure the best. You know, you need to hear the positive reinforcement.
And you know what I'm like.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. I know when I'm playing. Yeah, yeah. I don't need to hear it from folks.
Exactly.
And he knew that as well because he knew to just be fucking playing with my ego.
Well, that's...
I've been saying that for ages with the New Guinea team.
So Lukey has just told us in his glass case of emotion, the mail is, it was on SEN this morning, Michelle Bishop with Andrew Voss. That
legend Michelle Bishop.
Is she?
Good. Absolute legend.
She's always on SEN.
Always. She's great. Person. I've known her for 20-something years, mate. She's always been great.
So, and does she generally have pretty good mail?
She's got really great mail. Mail's been around for a while because you got to understand, New Guinea.
Sorry, let me explain what it is.
Go.
Papua New Guinea are a strong contender for the 18th team, and it could be happening really soon.
I've been saying this for about 4 years.
Yeah.
I just think because it's the number one sport over there.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we try and, you know, really – grow that, you know. You don't have to be based in New Guinea. So just say you play. Just say you base yourself.
Where do you think they will be based? Cairns.
I think they should be based in Cairns.
Yep.
Or just say somewhere like Rockhampton, central Queensland, and just say you play 4 games in New Guinea. You play 4 games in Queensland or wherever, and then all the rest are away games.
Is Cairns the same temp as pretty much Townsville?
It's fucking hot.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Yeah. It's hot.
Yeah. Be similar.
But
to Townsville.
But someone
Townsville?
Who has someone. You know, just say if it is Cairns, they're going to have to build a better stadium. But New Guinea's got a lot of dough.
Yeah.
You know, like they've got that, they'll, and if they get a team in there, they will go all out.
Yeah.
So Cairns is great to play in. It's hot. You got to deal with it. You know, like you're probably going to be, they'll probably be smart like Townsville and try and play most of their games down here at the start of the year, and then around about like the our winter, which is there, which is just beautiful up there. So I think it'll really work. I think it'll work because
my biggest hurdle, and I think the biggest hurdle would be recruitment, getting 100%. Players.
Well, you're not going to get all the bloody the Cornwall players. You know, like you're going to probably have one or two. That's about it.
I think they'd have to have. I reckon they'd have more. I reckon they'd have a reputation of about half a dozen.
Yeah,
so
but they're going to get pumped.
Juzzy Ollum.
Yeah, Juzzy Ollum and that. But you're not going to have these guys who are playing for the headhunters.
But there are guys that are emerging now that are getting picked up from us. Like we talked about Nixon Putt a couple of weeks ago. I think there's about probably half a dozen now because of the way that Papua New Guinea are growing. So just say this wouldn't be next year or the year after. It's probably 3 years away.
Yeah,
I think the game's emerging, maybe by that time they have a representation of maybe half a dozen in their squad of 25. Does that sound reasonable? You think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that's probably too much.
Yeah.
I think there'll be a lot of – they'll have a reserve grade probably stacked full of like the hunters. But like you're going to get a lot of NRL players who want to be playing.
Yeah.
Do we have enough players? Do we have enough depth? We said that a couple of years ago, and that was because we had about like 15 to 20 of our senior players and really good players retire.
Yeah.
Now look, the fucking game's at its peak, you know, and I think the next couple of years, I don't think it's going to be a problem having 18 teams.
I think the Dolphins have represented that it's not a problem of – when you look at the teams that are below them, the problem's not the depth, the problem is the coaching.
Yes.
And there's not – you know, what other example of Wayne Bennett is?
Well, Adrian Lamb would be a perfect coach.
He would be a good
Adrian
coach.
Lamb, perfect coach. Paul Ayton would be a perfect coach, assistant coach. They know the system. They're Cornwalls. They're very proud.
Yep.
Adrian Lamb would be great. He'd be great, and I think he'd be the first one to put his hand up. I think it's great. I think it's great even having that conversation. That putting the PNG team in, I think it's great.
You wouldn't go you sort of be throwing that out willy nilly if you didn't.
No. There's been rumors for years. They just need to get the infrastructure right. They need to get the juniors right, and the infrastructure's there because of the PNG hunters.
The love of the game.
The hunters are there. Mm. Like so, you're going to have a reserve grade game, a reserve grade team. You're going to have depth. You're going to have all these. Imagine all these young kids in New Guinea wanting to play. Like Juzzy Ollum and all that kind of stuff. They're all going to become that next generation is going to be there. So I think it'd be great if the NRL did that. Yep. It'd be so good. As I said, like, you're not going to be based in New Guinea. Yep. You can't be based in New Guinea. Because you won't recruit anyone. But if you're based in Cairns or even, I don't know, central Queensland, like Rockhampton, Bundaberg, something like that, then you're talking.
Yeah, super interesting. This probably story will develop as the week goes on. But looking forward to seeing how what happens with that because that would be...
be fucking great.
I think it would be good for the game the more I think about
it. It's the number one sport. It's the number one sport in New Guinea.
Yeah, the national sport. This one is from... we're going overseas again. This one is from if I've pronounced that wrong. Question for you boys. Hey, Mason Scope, OG level one listener since the first potty, listening all the way from Tel Aviv. As an expat Aussie, your potty makes me feel at home. I work for the local rugby team here called the Tel Aviv Heat, which I believe is a rugby union team. As the head of digital marketing and content, we compete in the European Super Cup for a country where rugby is very new on a professional level. As content creators like yourselves, how would you best go about promoting a new team via content to an area or country where people may never have heard of your game? So I'll go quickly on this one, Mace. First of all, I want to get a quick look at your website. Website's top shelf. And I guess it's just keep reaching out to content creators in countries that the game's popular. So, you know, whether it's the Super League, whether it's us, building profile, trying to get representation of rugby union players or rugby league players that household names, if you can somehow
to get
pull
them
that
over
off,
there, yeah.
Like you have in messaging us and getting the word out. Keep, you know, I know there are a lot of, you know, whether it be countries that aren't familiar with rugby or rugby league that are trying to build the games, and I think it's great. It's a tough battle. I know, you know, what people go through when they're trying to develop the game in other countries that are strong footballing nations, strong basketballing nations. Yeah. It's an uphill battle, but keep doing keep ripping in.
First of all, you know, we're not a political show, but we know what's going on over there. And our heart goes out to everybody, you know, Israel, Palestinian and everything over there. It's awful what's happening there. But you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody that's over in that country.
Yeah, hope you're safe anyway, brother.
Yeah, I hope all you guys are safe.
Hope you're safe because, like you said, I'm not super familiar with the reasonings behind why all this is going on.
It's
but it's sad to see regardless.
It's very sad. But, look, just trying to – it's about getting exposure, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's hard. And you got to get some – you know, it's hard to get some, like, you know, superstar players – to come over there,
just keep reaching out. Though.
But you've got to do that. You just got to keep networking. You got to, like, because it's, as I said, it's the age of information and connection. Social media, all this kind of stuff. You can write to people. You can do this. You can write to the NRL. You can write to bloody anyone, and try and get some players over there and try and organise a game. And I'm not going to say you're going to play against the Kangaroos or something like that.
Yeah.
But you know, there's always teams around.
Even just a few Zoom calls. Get some ideas.
Yep. Like the NRL are very proactive with stuff like that. You know, so you just got to keep trying, keep working at it, because it is very hard. Most countries like that are very hard. Like even like you say, like with Georgia and all these sort of places right in the middle there, they all really love rugby league.
Yeah, Greece. They love it.
So you just got to keep trying, keep networking, keep reaching out to people. We'll try and help from our end, and you just come up, if you write us DM us or something like that, what sort of ideas you've got.
Yep.
And then we can just go from there.
Yep. Hope that helps, brother. This last one is from John Crawford. I think you'll like this one, Mace. Hey, boys, love the potty. Great insight and laid-back feel. Would love to do a run club, but a fair hike to get there from Perth. Start running now. And I think Ned Brockman's over there at the moment. Maybe you can run back with Ned Brockman like you did last year. Not my question. I saw it on Twitter, but would love to hear your opinion. I can split them. What's better, Queensland's 8 straight or Penrith's 3 in a row?
Fuck it. I think Origin is the pinnacle of the game, and I just can't go past that.
Yeah.
I can't go past it. Like, I played in bloody six of those series, and they were unbeatable.
Yeah.
And we had a fair side. I mean, they had a better side, but we had a fair side. But just to beat us like that for 8 in a row, it is very hard because let me go back to Penrith. In this day and age, to be in 4 grand finals and win 3 – to keep those same blokes and keep them motivated every single year, and these big campaigns that they're doing, they've had World Cups, they've had all these little Four Nations and everything thrown at them, but to keep them focused, like just say if Origin's different, right? You get in there for 6 weeks of the year, you get in there, you got the best team, it's the funnest thing, and they dominated us, right? But as I said, I'm not sure where I'm sort of nearly talking myself into Penrith.
I know you. I'm Penrith.
Yeah, because I know where you are. Fucking, you got me with your eyes. And I'm like, so I'm just thinking, like, just because of it's 2023, it ain't the 80s, it ain't the 90s where you have stacked teams and you dominate everything. Penrith are all nearly homegrown. No one's really recruited out there, and they've done it all by themselves through that system, through the grassroots.
So you are Penrith.
Yeah, I'm going Penrith. I just think it's just such a monumental effort from the coaching to the CEOs and everything like that. I was with Brian Fletcher at a function the other week, and he was just saying, like, you know, how they do the grassroots and recruitment and everything
it's
like that.
It's been 10 years.
It's unbelievable what they're doing. You know, like, as I said, Origin, you're playing with the best of the best. Queensland at that time had the greatest team of all time. It is. You're talking Greg Inglis's, you're talking Billy Slater's, Cam Smith's, Darren Lockyer's, Nate Miles, Sam Thaiday. Fuck, who? I don't know.
Yeah.
It was unstoppable. And the players that Penrith have, you know, they've got some great players, but they're not superstars.
They're not superstars.
They don't have a Billy Slater.
Yeah.
They don't have like Cooper Cronks. I mean, they have Nathan Cleary. I think he's a superstar. Cam Smith.
Queensland's 8 straight, unbelievable. Like you said, it's the pinnacle. It's the best of the best. But I believe that Queensland's team was so dominant during that period. And an Origin camp goes for 30 days. 10 days Origin 1, 10 days Origin 2, 10 days Origin 3. So you've got a – there's a real art in that as well, in the way that they were able to go from playing club footy, focus in, come together again – and not get bored after fourth or fifth series.
Get bored of winning Origin.
Of bored of winning. Yeah, but like there still is.
Motivation.
Motivation. That's the word.
Consistency.
Consistency.
Disciplined enough. Playing fucking just like out lights out every single game. There was games there we should have won.
Yes.
But they somehow did. They just pulled it out.
They pulled it out, which is a great feat and 100%. Like it's this is why it's such a good question. But for Penrith to do it 3 years in a row.
Four grand finals in a row. Let's just not sleep on that.
Four grand finals. Yep.
They won three.
But the three-peat during that period. And when I look at Queensland's dominant run, and I know that we'll probably, you know, down the road we might look at Penrith in a different light and their players, but I think probably halfway through you could look at that squad and go, there's a pretty good chance Cam Smith's an immortal. There's a pretty good chance JT's an immortal.
They are immortals.
And there's a pretty good conversation Lockyer, for both Billy, GI, Lockyer, and Cooper Cronk, depending on how depending on how you feel.
Easily Hall of Famers.
Easily. So when I look at this Penrith team, I think it's stars everywhere. Like a
homegrown.
Really good team. But I look at it and I go.
They recruited Yowie and Liam Martin as kids.
Of course. But that's exactly my point where I go, probably Nace. For a lot of people, probably a lock already. You know, I said it after the grand final. I think this cemented him. For me, as an immortal, obviously he'll go. I'm projecting him going on and continuing his career. Like I don't see him. Like if he finished tomorrow, then probably he's not an immortal.
Give him time.
He's probably not an immortal. But I'm projecting him to go on just like I would have done at Origin Series 4 win of Cam Smith. Mm-hmm. I would have looked at that four Origins in. We weren't doing a potty, but I was looking at it going. Cam Smith's the GOAT, man. Mm. Like, he's a fucking future immortal. Yeah. So that's the way I view Nathan Wright, and he'll go on. But apart from that, like, Yowie, he's going to be really good. He's always going to be known as a really good player. Leota Fisher-Harris. They're going to be greats of the game. They're going to be viewed as greats of the game. But immortals? No. So I think what they've done for 3 years in a row now, 4 years in a row, I think Penrith's three-peat is
I agree. I agree, because they don't have the caliber of players. Mm. And the NRL is as tight as it is ever at the moment, right? And they've done three in a row. And it's phenomenal, from coaching to the CEOs to the recruitment to everybody in that club. It's unbelievable, because I think winning at club level is probably harder than winning Origin.
Yeah, yeah, just because especially the week in, week out grind.
It's the hours that you're putting in. It's the big runs that they've had in. 4 years of being in the grand final.
Injuries.
And then a few injuries, you know, like coming back into preseason, being motivated again.
Yeah.
Going playing for Australia. Big campaigns into Origin. Like, these things take toll.
Yeah.
You know, I would have think two's probably enough. Maybe, you know, maybe it would have caught up.
Yeah.
Mate. They're going to go for four next year.
Yeah.
Who do they lose? They've still got the same forward pack. They're the best. That's the best forward pack in the comp.
They lose Stephen Crichton.
They're going to lose Stephen Crichton. And I'm not going to say he's replaceable, because the guy's just money. And they're just like, who else?
Spencer Lenu.
They're going to have some other young kid coming up. Lenu's a dog, man. He's a dog. Yeah. He's going to be awesome for him. But like, they lost Kikau and Appy. You're like, fuck. They're very hard to replace.
Yeah. I thought, you know,
but you had Mitch Kenny, and then you put frigging Scotty Sorensen there, and like, well, you know, Kikau is a better player than Sorensen, I think, but Sorensen doesn't look that far out of place.
No.
And then you just sort of plug and place, mate. And I just think, who the hell's going to beat them next year if they have the same system? They're going to go for fucking four.
Imagine if they get four. That's crazy.
That's crazy, man.
I think maybe people will be on the fence with Queensland 8, Penrith 3.
Think, so just say you lose Jersey Flegler.
Yep.
Aussie representative right now, Queensland representative. Herbie Farmworth, probably one of the best centres in the game.
Yep.
Who do you replace him with? I mean, if you're going to put Palacio there.
Palacio's gone too.
Well, Palacio's gone, okay. Titans, yeah. Well, you're not going to put Marty Tapau, ain't going to do anything. You got that young kid,
Hetherington,
but he's a bit small. He's going to do a job, but I think he's going to be on the bench.
You know who they got, who I like? They got Fletcher Baker from the Roosters.
Fletcher Baker will be good.
I think he'll start.
I think he's a big body, and I think him playing in that team, he's going to do all that dirty work. And I think he'll be good.
Xavier Willison,
if he comes out, if he has a big preseason, they won't really lose that much. Flegler's a really good player, but I don't know what you're going to do with that left side centre.
I think it's going to be Dean Mariner or Jesse Arthur's competing.
Fucking Dean Mariner.
Dean Mariner's nice.
Jesse Arthur's nice too. Yeah. I'm not sure if he's a winger or a centre.
So they'll be all right, Broncos.
They'll be good. Mm. I think it might be the same too again.
Yeah. I think Roosters are sneaky good next year. I think they can, depending on the rest and recovery, and they need to address their start to the forwards, season. Mate.
They don't have the forwards.
Well, they've got – so next year, right, this is how their pack ended on form. So you've got obviously Jared and Lindsay up front. They'll have Spencer Lenu coming off the bench with Terrell May. And they developed that Siwa Wong on one edge with Nat Butcher, Egan Butcher on the bench as well. Yeah, that's a pretty good pack.
Still good. Still good. But I just don't think it's well balanced.
They could potentially have Dom Young and Joseph Swali.
It's not well balanced. It's not a well balanced pack. Mm. You know, like Lindsay Collins needs to take the reign from Hargraves. And Hargraves going to be 35 next
Radley.
Year.
We didn't even mention Radley.
Bruh, he's 35 next year, Hargraves.
In a perfect world, someone for the Roosters, if you're a Roosters fan, you want someone to emerge from that pack and beat Jared out. So he's the vet coming off the bench that can
still make some – he made some
make
big,
an impact,
big noise.
But, and
is he suspended for the first fucking six games?
When he's back playing. But ideally, you'd like if Spencer and or Terrell May develop over the offseason and go, fuck this.
It's me
and you, Lindsay, with Jared coming off the bench.
You take Hargraves out of that team and you take – and Victor Adley's had to really adjust his game and not be as aggressive. There's no fear factor in that pack. Before, when Hargraves is going at it,
Spencer Lenu is going to give you fear off the bench.
But he's not a fucking whacker like a Victor Radley. Radley's had to really adjust his game because, you know, his best ability is availability, and he gets suspended about four or five weeks a year. Mm. Hargraves is the same.
But like, you could say that with a lot of top teams, take their best two fucking.
Yeah, I know, but like they're those two. Yeah. Like they need those two to be playing at least 22 games.
I agree.
Like, let's not get suspended. Get those guys playing week in, week out. Then all the rest of them can just fit around, right? Yep. The Egan Butchers are good. They're fucking great. They're great young kids, but they're not big bodies.
I love Egan Butcher.
Lindsay Collins needs to fucking take that shit. He's playing. He's in the top 17. He's in the Australian team. Mm. Fucking act accordingly when you put that jersey on and play like you fucking do every single week for when you play for Queensland. Be about it.
He got player of the year for him.
I know he can be better.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
You want him to push him even
harder. His ceiling's fucking high and he's representing at the highest level, and I don't even think he's really nowhere near his potential.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, so you believe he has potential to be an all-time great
fucking role. Really dominant. Yeah. He's fit, he's strong, he's big, he's got no fear factor, he doesn't give a shit, he's about it.
Yeah.
And we need Brandon Smith to fucking play his...
You know when I think Lindsay took over as the out-and-out leader of the pack, his form at the back end of the season was clearly the best out of all of them. I think when Jared lost his shit in that last round against the Tigers and Lindsay was pulling him in line, I reckon that was a change in the guard.
That's a change because he's...
He ain't that kid anymore. Lindsay's the guy now.
He's not that kid anymore. Yeah. And I think, you know, like him playing, you know, with the Australian playing Origin, the penny's dropped, I think.
Yep.
He's going to be that dude.
All right, mate, let's break down a couple of the teams for the weekend. We have New Zealand versus Samoa. They go back-to-back after competing hard against the Aussies. But for the Kiwis, this is how they line up. Chance Nickel-Klokstad, Ronaldo Mulitalo, Matty Timokor, Joseph Manu in the centres. Apparently, Madge said they're going to swap a little bit, Nickel-Klokstad and Joseph Manu. Shout out to Jermaine Asako, gets that wing spot. He's back in the Kiwis team after a stellar season.
Who'd he get? Who'd he push out there?
Dallin Watanez and
Lesniak went to Tonga.
But he's
injured.
Yeah, and he's injured as well. But who else was there? So it was Ronaldo and Dallin. They were the wingers.
Yeah, okay.
And Jordan Rapana played on the wing last year too.
So he got Raps a spot.
I'm not too sure if there's injuries that coincided with that.
Maybe Raps had a...
He had a long season. He's getting older now too.
He's getting a bit old.
Dylan Brown and Jerome Hughes in the halves. Fisher Harris, skipper.
I
think this is his first time skipper in the country with his partner for the Panthers, Moses Leota. Farmanu Brown at nine. Isaiah Papali'i and Britton Nikita in the back row. Joseph Tarpany at lock. The old boy Fozzy, he's still getting around on the bench.
Love it.
With Nelson Asafa Solomona, Griffin Neem and Leo Thompson.
Not sure about Farmanu Brown at nine.
Yeah,
He blows out quick.
Yeah,
I think he'd be more of a bench player because he was at the Bulldogs there. He's a good kid.
Yep,
he's dynamic. But I mean, that's how much they've fallen off nine. So they had Brandon Smith, man.
No Brandon Smith, no Jeremy Marshall King, no Phoenix Crossland, or injured.
You know, and they're playing against Samoa, so I don't think they're really going to be structured to be spotting up Farmanu Brown. So like you could get
Eddie. He played for Samoa in the World Cup last year.
Yeah, I know.
Too.
But if you're playing against Australia, they'll be getting at him all the time.
Yeah.
He's good with the ball, good left foot, good kid. He's got some skill, but he's not a natural nine.
All right, the Samoan team, Falongo.
Oh, my fucking God.
We'll get to him.
Come on.
Let me get through the teams. Murray Taulagi and Brighton Taito back on the wings. Isaac Tungal, Marion Servais, Stephen Crichton back at six. We'll have a chat and see how you viewed him. Dejan Arce, Stefano Uto-Ikamanu, Gordon Chen Kamtong, Junior Bolo, captain, Luciano Leilua and Connolly Lemuelu still in the back row with Keenan Palacio at lock. Spencer Linu, Terrell May, Hylam Lukey and Justin Matamua.
It's a fucking good team, man.
It's still a good team, eh?
Yeah, man. Let's just get onto that Falongo kid, eh?
He's a gun.
Bro, like he fucking killed Australia. He's played 45 minutes of NRL. And he comes out and does that. You got a try disallowed, which was ridiculous.
It's one of the best. It was a no try.
Ah, fuck it. It was a knock on. Give it to him. Yeah. Just give it to him. Yeah, sometimes, you know, yeah. Samoa's not going to win this. Just give it to the kid.
It was the best no try.
Oh, my God. But, like, just he's they're putting bombs up. He's jumping over, like, you know, Katoni Staggs and, you know, all these other bigger bodies. And he's making line breaks. He's fucking Pappenhausen's under some pump, under the pump there. Because he's that kid.
I tell you what, like since Billy Slater's been at Melbourne, the line of fullbacks that have come through during his tutelage, because he coaches there now, people got to remember, he still does a couple of days a week with Melbourne Storm. And I just think his knowledge of the game, his eye, and maybe he's part of the recruitment.
Body positioning, his positional play. Like Falongo's never out of position. 100%. Neither's Pap.
That was one thing I noticed.
He's never out of position. Whenever they kick, he's fucking on it straight away.
That's the other thing. So positioning for all those guys has always been, whether they've been fullbacks before they've gone there.
Good luck. Yeah.
So attention to detail has been perfect and how aggressive they are at taking on the
ball. And when Bill was playing, good luck trying to find the ground.
Yeah.
Because he's going to get it every time. So he anticipates everything. They must do so much video on where they kick, where they kick it, what position you should be in.
Yep.
He's getting everything on the full. Balls aren't bouncing. And he's attacking it. So he's getting the ball and he's attacking the line.
His mindset.
He's not fucking catching a ball and then stepping around trying to think. He's just going, taking the meters, a little bit of footwork, see what happens. Spinning out of tackles, very well balanced. Fucking seems, mate, he's got it all. He's got it all.
Melbourne got another.
I don't know what it is. I mean, we're trying to compare him to MILF back in 2012.
Yep.
I think he's better.
Fuck.
I think he's better.
I think you're right. I think he's got.
I think he's got more skill. I think he's quicker.
Fuck. He's a gun. Yeah. He's super entertaining. I will say,
really good kid too.
I'd imagine he is. Yeah. Like Melbourne.
What's Melbourne?
No dickhead policy down there.
Fuck.
The one thing that stood out is like. You're playing against Australia here. I could understand if he went into his shell. He's like Billy.
No.
Like whenever I used to watch Billy play, if there was a ball in for another team that's 50-50, it's not 50-50. It's 100-0. Yeah. Billy wants the ball. Whenever the ball was up in the air, he's sprinting to get to it, and you can tell he's super aggressive.
And that's team-first mentality.
And communicating.
That's team-first mentality, and that's looking after your middles, and that's looking after everybody, because if he gets to the ball first and he's on the full, he takes those 10 metres, takes 10 metres off the middles, they can get back in good shape, all that kind of stuff. That's thinking about the team. That's just not catching the ball, fucking around, trying to find a little bit of space, and then just get, you know, he's not allowing those guys to come up, get under hooks and try and drag him back. He's finding space. Space is not faces, and he's going for it. And he's usually getting quick play the balls. He's a little bit of an offload here and there. Like that was one of the best debut performances in national rugby Samoa against Australia, and Australia were on.
Yeah,
they were not fucking around, man.
It was a fucking sick team.
They weren't fucking around. Like you have to look at Tino and Payne Haas, man. They went at it.
They were trying to give it to him.
Yeah, they were trying. They were sending 10 down to him.
Yeah,
10, minimum 10.
Yeah.
They had all the field position, Australia. They had nothing. They had no field position. That's why Toto and that couldn't even get out of like they did Penrith. They did a Penrith on Toto. Now he knows how it feels.
They you could tell they had a clear like Toto was a head on a plate for sure.
Yeah.
Anytime Toto got the ball though, they knew that he was such. He was and Nath would have known this as well. Like, and I don't know he didn't play,
but
it's the mindset. It's Yoey, all those sorts of guys.
Most of those left foot kicks.
They're all commuting.
His cage kicks were great.
Yeah.
Cage kicks people is just like when you come, he's probably about like 40, 50 out, is the kick. They've got a 10 by 10 meter radius. So 10 meters out, and you try and get it right there.
It would have been nice for Munster to feel like he was on the front foot for a while.
Munster played well.
He hasn't been on the front foot like he's been at Melbourne, for Melbourne the last three or four games. They just
and he's scored. Starting to get a little bit of criticism.
Yep.
You don't bag legends, but he'll come back and he'll carve you up.
Yeah, so he would have enjoyed that. New Zealand versus Samoa. Our friends at the tab have New Zealand $1.15 favourites. Samoa $5.50. The line is 15.5. Can you envision?
I can envision it.
The Samoan team, Kyle Samoa, keeping it close.
Yeah, 100%. Look at that forward pack. And they've got that one game under their belt. They know what. They come out, they weren't up to scratch.
Yeah.
They got blown off the park by an Australian team. Now they know what level to get at.
I agree.
They'll be better for it. Let's not get. And I don't think New Zealand have the strike power.
Yeah,
to dominate. As I said, like the nine, like Farmanu Brown, he's a decent player, but he should be on the bench, right?
In a perfect world,
he'd be a great 14. He's not a starter.
Yep.
I just think his service from dummy half will be a little bit off, and the timing. He's got to play basic football. Fisher Harris and Leota will be after it. But, hey, this is when it gets tribal. You know, you think fucking Junior Paulo's going to stand back? He's going to go after it. Who's the other prop for Samoa? Who is it? It's Tui Kamanu.
Stefano.
I want him to play a lot better.
Yep.
I need him.
I thought he was good.
He's an Origin player, mate.
Yep.
And he didn't really make a dent. He needs to be really coming after Junior Paulo. Junior Paulo set the standard, and then the young kid Stefano just fucking run hard as you can.
He's got next.
Because he's played Origin, right? So that's the standard that I want to see him play it. Like he can go at Fisher Harris and like Leota, the Joey Tapanay.
Yeah.
That lock, that's pretty good.
It's not bad.
Halves? What do you think of the halves against Samoan halves?
Samoan halves, yeah. To Stephen Crichton.
Kick well.
Yeah.
The seven kicked well.
He did a lot of kick. Dejan Arce.
The Warriors kid?
He's at Parramatta now.
Parramatta.
Yeah.
He played six the back end of the year.
Yeah.
He's all right.
Played in for Dylan Brown as well during
just,
that
game. I mean, Critter is such a talent. He can play anywhere, but it's like, fuck, he has to pass. I want him to run.
Yeah.
It's taken a lot of
got nice soft hands, but he doesn't have
It's different when he's getting more. There's more people in his face when he's running the ball. You know, you need him one-on-one out wide.
There's such an art to structuring like shape and the way it looks when you're running through shape when you're the seven or six.
Yes.
Eh?
So you got
to sometimes I'm not trying to speak about Crichton specifically, but when players that don't play normal 7-6, it just doesn't look right.
Because they're not used to it, mate. Because he's used to getting the ball shaking and baking on an out ball or right foot, left palm, all that kind of stuff. Now he's got to go catch the ball. He's going to be at four men. Yeah. He's got a dummy inside. You've got lead runners. So he's got to be looking at shoulders where they're turning in. If the three man's turning out, if the fucking winger's coming in, if the center's coming in, like he's got to process all that.
Yeah.
That's what the great halves do. And it's hard because he's not a half.
It's not natural.
I'm not sure what they can do.
Yeah.
If they're fair dinkum about trying to make a really good run for this, geez, put someone else at six.
Moving on to – so you think Samoa can keep it close though?
Keep it close. I think New Zealand 1-12.
Yep. All right. Fiji, Batty versus Cook Islands. Pretty stacked Fijian team here against Cook Islands who got dusted by PNG.
PNG looked all right.
Yeah, they look solid. I think they'll be the team to beat in this series for sure. We went through similar teams to the Cookies, but for Fiji this week, Dareem Buller, Mike Asivo and Michaela Ravalawa on the wings. Taruva and Wonga Blake.
Yuck.
Kurt Donoghue, Brendan Wakeham at halves, Tui Kamakamitha, captain, Noah Nyla Goliva, Gordon Whippy, Tony
Mr. Whippy. Oh, Mr. Whippy, yeah.
Gordon Whips. Tane Milne in the back row. He's plays back row
he goes good,
a couple times for him. Caleb Navale, Penny Wani Tagi Tuimua, Api Salomi Sakura.
Api's not playing?
What? No, Api Karasau's not out of this. He didn't.
Fair enough.
Watasini Waka Nerisaravi and Cirillo Lovakuro. Apologies to all the brothers.
We know we love you, boys.
I'm not too familiar with, you know,
We need Petro.
Yeah, we need the credit here. But oh, and Pio Sicky.
So Kicks ain't playing either. He's gonna rest up.
No kicks, and no uppercuts.
So this is where you know, like, no disrespect, Kicks and Appy, both insides at a bottom four, probably going to put all their eggs into that one basket.
For sure.
And that's what they're doing. You know, you don't want no injuries. Like, Kicks was missed 15 weeks this year. You know, through a pec injury, just needs to get his body right. Appy's missed a fair bit of game. You know, he had big. Origin sort of conquest, and you know, they need rest, man. They're like 28.
Yeah,
it's when you need a bit of a break.
23 and a half the line is Mace.
It's going to be a touch up.
Yeah, I think so.
Absolute touch up.
I think Fiji will do similar to what PNG did.
Be like
Cookies.
Cookies
just don't have enough.
It'd be like 52-16.
Don't have enough experience.
Or something like
that. I might even have a little bit of play on that responsibly. All right, mate. That's it. We've just got the Caulfield Cup on the weekend with Tab.
Are we going to the Caulfield Cup?
No, we're not going, but it's on the weekend. It's the big race on the weekend. All the Group 1s are on now, I thought I'd just get up.
What do you reckon?
Some of our hopes. You're on Montefiore, mate.
Montefiore. Okay. Hey, guess who backed the million-dollar race? The million-dollar dog race.
No, you didn't. No.
Mr. Bloody, the Postman win?
No, Postman Pat didn't win.
B told me Postman Pat won.
No.
Who won?
Jay is Jay.
Oh, God. So close.
it was the second favourite. Postman Pat come third, I think.
All right.
But yeah, I'm on Gold Trip. Gold Trip looks Cherry Wright was won pretty convincingly and going to go up. Looked like he was getting away from him as well.
Yep.
I think it was the Turnbull. I believe it was the Turnbull. So $5 favorite. I'll be on.
Happy punting, people.
Yeah, happy punting to everyone on the weekend. As always, we want everyone to be playing safe during this footy season. So please keep front of mind, what are you really gambling with? And during this racing season, of course. And if you need free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. You can find all of our current LPC bets under the Bets Friends banner on the Tab app. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.